Hi, I'm Will McHenry, the Program Associate at Ponhar's Eurasia, and with us today is Suzanne Wengley, an Assistant Professor in the Political Science Department at the University of Notre Dame, who is the author of Post-Soviet Power, State-Led Development in Russia's Marketization, published by the Cambridge University Press. She's also working on a new research project on agriculture in Russia. Suzanne, welcome. Thank you for joining us for this Ponhar's podcast.
Hi, Will.
Great. What should we know about the Russian agriculture sector?
Yeah, there's a lot to know and learn about. And it's hard to sort of single out a few things, but I think what a lot of people are not aware of and what's pretty interesting is that there's been a lot of money flowing to the Russian countryside. So a lot of capital investment and a lot of modernization of all kinds of agricultural technology, so harvesters, all the way to food production and seed technology and all kinds of things. So the capital inflows made a bunch of things happen that then changed how food was produced in Russia. And just to name a couple of things that happened is that Russia started producing a lot more domestically, especially in the more fertile parts of the country in the south, and other fertile regions. Productivity and yields have gone up a lot, especially in a number of commodities and also in the livestock sector. So Russia now produces a lot more chicken and hogs. And does so with better productivity. So what in livestock that's called yield, feed conversion ratio. So this just means that Russian food production sort of starts approximating Western industrial farming for better or worse. So those are a few of the trends, and there's many more.
Great. So where does the capital come from?
So that is also a good question. So it actually comes from many different places. A lot of it is Russian domestic investment. So there's oligarchs who are encouraged to buy land and become active in this sector. So a lot of the Russian oligarchic conglomerates started agricultural sectors. So, Basel has an agricultural arm, and so does Gazprom, and so does do a lot of other energy companies, which is quite interesting because they certainly wouldn't have been interested in rural Russia in the 90s, because in the 90s it was sort of it epitomized Russia's backwardness, and oligarchs wouldn't have touched land, right? But yeah. They're part of this trend in Russian agriculture is part of a wider global trend where when prices for agricultural commodities rose in the 2000s, capital investors became interested in fertile land, and Russia has a lot of fertile land that's pretty well connected to port infrastructure. So the capital comes from Russian oligarchs. It also comes from places like Cyprus, where it's likely repatriated capital, where Russian oligarchs bring their money back to Russia for all kinds of reasons. And then there's a lot of foreign investors. There's interestingly a lot of sovereign wealth funds from the Middle East and China, for example, have invested in Russia. And there's a Norwegian researcher, his last name is Visser, who has done a lot of research on this. He would have more to say, but other investors are just Western capital, Western pension funds. So the money really comes from lots of different places.
Fascinating. Finally, have the Russian sanctions against Western agricultural producers mattered?
Yeah, the sanctions. A lot of people are interested in the sanctions because they're quite peculiar, right? So the U.S. sanctioned the sort of capital flows and the foreign holdings of important elites, and in return, Russia sanctions Western agricultural producers. So it was sort of a surprising move for some people. But on the other hand, it's actually sort of a continuation of a number of policies where Russia has tried to protect Russian producers. So the Western sanctions kind of follow that tradition of trying to protect Russian producers in order to boost domestic production. And it has definitely had that effect ever together, not only the sanctions, but together with a lot of other policy measures, Russian producers have produced more and have been able to invest. So the sanctions matter in that way. They've also sort of created bottlenecks in Russian food production in other ways. And lastly, they've also sort of generally led to a reorientation of trade, where now beef comes from Brazil and not the US. So the sanctions matter, and they not surprisingly, they've been extended a number of times. So they initially were set, I think, for 3 years, and they're now continuing, which is not surprising given the political conditions, but I think it's also partly due to internal Russian political dynamics.
Great. Suzanne, thank you for joining us for this podcast.
Thank you, Will.